Welcome to the Fifth Quarter Podcast. My name's Rick Samprin. Fresh off the bye week, with a new offensive play caller and facing an 0-9 team, and the Ticats still lost? The Fifth Quarter Podcast begins now.
We've been talking Tiger Cats football for over 50 years. Welcome to the Fifth Quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Hello, football fans in Hamilton from coast to coast and around the world. This is the Fifth Quarter. It is brought to you by Eastgate Ford, and you are listening to 900 CHML. Rick Samprin with you on a later than expected edition of the Fifth Quarter. About a 90-minute weather delay. It did not help the Ticats in the second half. In fact, it may have made the whole experience and their performance even worse than what we saw in the first half. And that is saying a lot, because they were downright dreadful in the first half, save for the one touchdown drive. But apart from that, my gosh, what is happening in the Hammer? Nothing very good. Nothing good at all. A 24-10 loss to the previously winless Edmonton Elks. If you've not pulled your hair out by now, well, you just might want to do so. Now, 3-6 on the season, the Elks 1-9. Their first win after finally shedding a 13-game losing streak dating back to last season. Oh, lots to talk about tonight, or this morning. The first half listlessness, losing to a winless team, coming off the bye week, scoring under 20 points again. That's if you're counting four games in a row. 1 point in the second half. And oh yeah, they have a new offensive play caller. And we saw some improvement in the offense. Hey, Tim White is a Tiger Cat still. Yeah, he was still playing on the team. He had his best game of the year tonight. 9 catches, 101 yards. James Butler running the ball pretty effectively tonight. 43-yard gain helping him get over the century mark. 14 carries, 114 yards, 1 TD. Look at Taylor Powell's stats, 20 of 26, 218 yards. Efficient. But with all that wrapped into one game in which they just could not score points. That's the name of the game. Scoring more points than the other team. 10 does not cut it. And leaving 10 points on the field, Mr. Mark Leggio, is not good enough. In fact, it's horrendous. Came into the game 18 of 19 from field goal land, 1 for 4 tonight. Another missed extra point. He is 6 of 10 on extra points this season. I think the Ticats are going to be searching the free agent kicker market now. Yes, there was a weather delay. Yes, it was 90 minutes. Yes, the Elks had to endure that as well. But there's a lot of things that went wrong with this game tonight. Let's just push Mr. Leggio aside for a second. The defense sleptwalk through that first half. We had the missed extra point. I know I'm bringing Leggio back into the conversation. And then the decision that I'm still trying to wrap my head around. With 9 seconds left in the first half, the Ticats threatening to score with a timeout in their back pocket. Second and short, and they kick a field goal? Last time I checked, they were 3-5 coming into this game. Edmonton was 0-9, and Edmonton was putting the boots to them, 21-6. And you kick a field goal? Are they in it to win it? Or what is the deal? I just tweeted WTF. I did not know what was going on. And what is worse, tonight's loss against the team that was 0-9 could not beat anyone. Is that worse? Is what we saw tonight worse than the 60-1 debacle against the Stamps, Alberta's other still sub-500 team, back in 2017. Which one is worse, losing to the Elks, who were 0-9, or losing to the Stamps 60-1 in 2017? I still say the 60-1 is the worst thing I've ever witnessed. You might disagree after tonight's game. We have a number of highlights to play for you today. We have our big play of the game. At the end of the show, we'll vote for our player of the game, and I will anoint our fan of the night as well. And we will not, sadly, hear Robert's rendition of the Ticats fight song. My player of the game, James Butler, 14 carries, 114 on the ground, one TD. He had three catches for 32 yards. He brought the energy. He was fighting through tackles, making big runs, making things happen, finding the end zone. That was about it for the Ticats. Yeah, White had 100 yards. Yes, Powell was efficient. The defense didn't quite get to Trey Ford. Seven sacks or seven tackles each for Lawrence and Thurman. The Elks had seven sacks. Okay, that's enough for me. I got everything off my chest. I think I needed to. Before we go to the calls, I just want to say RIP to Rick Jenneret, the longtime Hall of Fame Buffalo Sabres play-by-play announcer, passed away earlier today. Tip of the cap to one of the best to ever do it. All right, to your calls, 905-645-3221, star 9900 on your mobile device. Send me an email. A number of people have already done so. rick@900chml.com. On Twitter, @am900chml, @ricksamprin, use the hashtag fifth quarter. We are not on CHML's Facebook page. Thank you, Meta. We are searching for another way to bring you this show live, where you can stare at my ugly mug and curse the Ticats until the cows come home. We'll make that announcement sometime soon, once we settle on where we're going to be. Who's your player of the game? Let's talk Ticats football with you at 905-645-3221, star 9900. Kyle is first off the hop tonight. Kyle, good morning. How are you?
Just once, I want to call and have a great conversation with you and be happy.
Okay.
And laugh and be like, oh man, wasn't that fantastic? Don't you feel bad for the other team that we dominated tonight?
I'd love to help you out on that, Kyle.
Yeah, I know. No, you're a breath of fresh air compared to the whitewashing that goes on elsewhere. But listen, I'll start with, I agree, James Butler is the player of the game, but who cares? He's a wasted, it's wasted. He's wasting his talents on this team this season. But yeah, sure, it's great. When you see him run, you go, oh, my goodness, thank God somebody's doing something on this team. Listen, I don't want to get down on Powell. He's a third string quarterback with limited experience. I don't expect miracles from him. We're in a tough spot. If it was Schiltz in there making these mistakes and doing everything and, you know, we're only scoring 10 points, then I'd be much more upset at the offense at this stage. New offensive coordinator, everything. I'm fine with all that. I agree with you. I couldn't agree more with the 9 seconds left. Why aren't you going for it? And I was so upset. I went outside, watched the thunder and lightning, came back in, and I couldn't get to the game tonight. Unfortunately, I was working late, so I had to watch it at my parents' house, and we had pre-recorded the game. So I came back in. And I said, you know what? Listen, that's not the worst decision, because we get the ball back, or if we don't, we're going to get the win in the fourth. Get the field goal, save your timeout, because now you've got a challenge. Where I have a big problem is the Duke Williams miss in the end zone, which, listen, I don't know if it would have been interference. It was real close when he was wrapped up in the second half. It was real close. What is Steinhauer doing holding on to the challenge flag? What's he saving it for? Does he have a pile of them at home that he's collecting? There's no use for that challenge flag to not be thrown at that moment. It was such a marginal call. Throw the flag. If he wins, we got it first and goal at the one. Now it's a ball game. But instead, what happens? We try to kick another field goal. That misses. Leggio's terrible. And again, this isn't Leggio's fault. You can't fault him for being a mediocre kicker. This is coaching. This is management. This is the president of the football team treating kicking like it's an afterthought in the Canadian Football League.
Well, let me jump in.
It's not an afterthought.
Yeah, in all fairness, you know, Leggio had a really good stretch there in which he hit 17 in a row and no one was complaining. In fact, everyone was saying, this guy's the best on the team. Let's not forget, there is a new holder and the conditions weren't perfect tonight, but still, I mean, he's getting paid to perform and he didn't perform tonight.
No, I get all of that. I'm not blaming Leggio. I'm blaming the fact that he's not, and let's be fair too, a lot of those kicks were inside 40 yards.
Yeah.
It's not like he was banging 50 yarders. So we were put in a position where we're stalled on offense and he's kicking a 32 yarder, a 35 yarder, a 25 yarder. Okay, great. Yeah, you should be money from in there. He's also missed more extra points than the rest of the league combined, if I'm not mistaken. I might be slightly wrong on that, but it's close. It's close. Leggio versus the entire CFL in missed extra points is very close.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. I'm not trying to pin it on him at all. What I'm saying is off season, there was no emphasis put into kicking. It's an afterthought.
Well, they had Seth Small. I mean, there was no worry at all. There was no worry at all with our kicking game because Seth Small was there. He's not here anymore.
No, but my point is they knew he had an issue, that he wasn't coming into camp. And listen, what I want to get to is this. Orlando Steinhauer has been called a player's coach time and time again. He's a player's coach. He's a player's coach. The same with Tommy Condell, who's not here anymore, but he was called the same thing. He's a player's coach. What that means to me is this is someone who's going to make players comfortable. This is not working in Hamilton. Now, Chris Jones, on the other hand, you could argue that this is a guy who screams and yells and rants and raves, and you've got a 1-9 team in Edmonton. But in Hamilton, I don't think that coaching style works. It's not working. Steinhauer, I'm so frustrated, I can't even articulate what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to not use foul language.
Please.
He's not a tough coach.
Right.
He's not coaching the team. We have talent. If you look at the team, if you look at the players we have, there is talent on this team. Why are we not doing better? And we're not losing nail biters. Like when Edmonton came into this game, I firmly believed that they were going to win the game. And this wasn't me being, you know, negative about the Ticats. It was just the fact that Edmonton, I think, is a lot better than their record. They were losing games based on bad coaching decisions, based on a poor half of football. But man, they were really there and they've got fight in them. The Cats, the games we're losing, we're not in these games. Like maybe for a play, maybe it's like, man, if we score here, we could be in it after we score. But then we don't score. This team is really, really bad. And I'm talking like 1-17 where we only beat Saskatchewan at home bad. Like this is a bad, bad team. I just don't see any hope. And I don't think that Bo Levi coming back is going to make it that much better. I mean, please tell me I'm wrong. I just don't see it.
Well,
I don't see the defense stepping up. I don't see it.
I'll tell you, there is something wrong with this team. Whatever that something is, I think it's a collection of things. I think, yes, part of it is coaching. Yes, I do think it's talent on the field. Injuries also playing a part in this. It's the scheme or the playbook or the decision-making. It's who are the next diamonds in the rough, and are they on this roster right now? We're seeing, you know, guys like Tariq McAllister, who I think is going to have a tremendous career, but do we see enough of him game in and game out? Dumb penalties, another one on that punt return. There's so many different things that are killing this team.
So what are we, like, talking solution? Because it's a pipe dream. Like, okay, yeah, sure. Mathematically, we can make the playoffs and maybe something happens. But realistically, this team isn't going anywhere. And let's assume that Steinhauer is a player's person. So why not keep him as president? Bump somebody up next season as head coach. Go searching. Like, I don't care who it is at this point. It just, he can't do both jobs. I think that's the problem. He's got too many titles, too much going on, and no accountability. He doesn't answer. Typically, in other teams, if you're a head coach, you have to answer to somebody. but he's answering to himself. There's no one to say, hey, listen, you got to get this job done, except for the upper echelon of the team. And that's already been proven that they don't really say a whole lot. They say, we're going to let the football people do the football stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you've made one person the football people.
It's that'll
not
be
people, it's person.
Yeah, that'll be a decision that this team is going to have to make this offseason. Kyle, we'll have to leave it there. Appreciate your call. Thanks for joining us today. That was Kyle in Hamilton with some great comments. Let's go over to Chris, who's also called into the fifth quarter. Chris, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
You know, another game, another loss.
Yeah, exactly. What I'm going to step on here was the field goal.
Which one?
Sorry. You know, in the first half,
okay,
where they chose to kick.
Oh, at the end at the end of the first half. Yes.
Yeah. Rather than going for an opportunity. Why? I mean, there was so much time left. Orlando looks at the game like he doesn't understand it. And just makes guesses and, So that's where I'm going there with there.
I'm still dumbfounded by that call because there's 9 seconds left. You're down 21-6. You're inside. Yeah. I can't remember the yard line, but they were inside the 15, I think it was. And you have a timeout in your back pocket. And why not run a quick, a hook, whatever. A slant, something quick that you know you're going to get one more play. And that one more play might be the field goal that you have to then kick on third down. Let's not forget, it was also second down. I for the life of me, cannot understand why you don't go for the TD.
Yeah, all this stuff you practiced. When I look at Orlando, he just maybe had a good run where he knew some people and had his hand up at the right time and stuff like that, knocked down some passes, but he has no clue about football.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. He's certainly struggling. This team is struggling. They need to find an answer, and I'm not sure there's an answer on this team right now to turn this thing around. I don't know. Chris, who's your player of the game tonight?
My player of the game is always Simone Lawrence.
Okay, Chris, appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
905-645-3221, *9900. You know what? Let's take our first break of the game. We got some tweets and some emails to get to as well, and a couple more calls as we have Manny Waning and Corey as well. This is the fifth quarter. It's brought to you by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Welcoming Ticats fans, young and old. You're listening to the fifth quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
First and 10 from the Hamilton 29. Trey Ford back, looking in zone. He's got Stephen Dunbar over the middle. It's a touchdown. The former Tiger Cat catches the touchdown, and the Elks go ahead early in this one.
Welcome back to the fifth quarter, brought to you by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML. Rick Samprin with you. Elks winning, question mark, exclamation point, over the Hamilton Tiger Cats, 24-10. The Elks now 1-9, Hamilton 3-6. And in a tie still for last place in the CFL East Division, although we have the tiebreaker over the Ottawa Redblacks, at least for now. 905-645-3221 or *9900 to call in and have your say on tonight's game. Vote for your player of the game as well. You can also hit me up on email, rick@900chml.com. Got a flood of email coming in, including this one from Ken, who says, ouch, best player of the game, Dunbar Jr., worst player of the game, Ticats kicker. Thanks, Rick, for doing what you do. You're best in class. Email from Ken. Thank you for your kind words, Ken. By the way, Steve Dunbar Jr., the former Ticat receiver, 2 TDs tonight, 4 catches for 93 yards. Trey Ford, I thought, had a pretty good game tonight. 13 of 18, 174 yards through the air, 2 touchdown passes, ran the ball 5 times for 60 yards, and now has 2 career wins. He's 2-for-4 all-time in the CFL. He beat Hamilton for his first career win last summer. He likes playing against the Ticats, apparently. Let's get to one more email before we get back to the phones. And this one's from Steve. Just when we all thought that it couldn't get worse for the Ticats this season. Ta-da! Steve, great email. That might be the email of the season. We shall see. 905-645-3221. Manny has called into the fifth quarter. Hello, Manny.
Hey, Rick, how are you?
Yeah,
I know, buddy. I alluded to something earlier on this season. I said we're just getting to know this year's edition of the Ticats early on, and, you know, you started getting to know some of the personnel and whatnot, so you kind of get a little bit of a break here and there. But I had said back then, even when we were starting to lose some ball games, and I had said, you know, I think a lot of it comes down to just the talent on the team or lack thereof and the depth on the team when we are injured and we had some injuries. Because every team's going to have, I saw some statistics on some CFL website the other day where we're actually the seventh, the team with the third most lost man games. There's two that have lost more and they have a better record, or one of them does anyways, one team. So, it seems like it's all about excuses. You know, the weather, well, guess what? Both teams played in the weather. The wind, well, it's two quarters for each team against and with the wind for them. Third string quarterback. We saw Kolaris go down, and we said this guy who's never took a snap in the CFL, Brown, and he plays an amazing game, okay? But he's also throwing to much better talent. And, you know, when White, who's disappeared most of the season, and even that one throw, it was his. Like, it was a good throw into the end zone. Win or no win, whatever. He lost focus. I don't know. He's been like that all year. He's been on and off. And surprisingly enough, probably his best game was today. And yet, I still thought he could have made that catch. Because big name guys, and guys who are paid big are the ones who have to make the big plays. So Williams and White, as example, as receivers, would maybe not be first stringers on any other, well, possibly White, but not the way he's playing this year, on any other team. You know, Butler would be probably the only, like from the offensive side anyways, aside from like a couple linemen, maybe, would be starters on other teams. Like, we just don't have the personnel. Now, that goes back to, as much as we are blaming, and for the right reason, and one of those would, again, going for a field goal with 9 seconds left at SCFL, you run a quick out, that takes 4 or 5 seconds, you still have 3 seconds left. It's either a touchdown or incomplete, and the clock stops, you got 3 seconds for your field goal. That's coaching. But he's also the one, as far as I know, you know, in charge of putting a lot of this team together and making a trade and putting this team together. So before he's even gone on the field to facilitate the team as a coach and direct it in whatever way he wants to see it run and the systems that he wants to put in, he's chosen this talent. And maybe more than anything else, if you're going to blame it for anything else, it's before the season even started, not having the right choices of talent on the team. And we go back to the kicker. If you knew that, you know, Small did such a good job for us last year, if you knew Small, which is such a key component of the Canadian game, the kicking game, as we saw today, 10 points left on the board, you just don't have enough talent, I think, at the end of the day. And just too many excuses. There's not, you know what, Powell, it's Powell's third game. Powell did not play a bad game. In fact, now, mind you, you're also going to look a lot better with when you're doing a lot of underneath stuff. You know, you're not throwing a deep ball. You're sort of underneath, so you're going to make a lot more completions. I get it. But I don't think the kid really did anything terrible except maybe the one where he fumbled it.
Yeah.
So I think it comes down to talent. I really do. And, you know, we're all scratching our heads here what it is. Well, it's easy. It really is. Simone Lawrence is not the Simone Lawrence of the past. And he's right now, he's 15th or somewhere around there in tackles. There were years where Simone Lawrence was always in the top five. He's 15th or 16th. Chris Edwards has more tackles, I believe, than Simone Lawrence. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I mean, Chris will play, you know, the different linebacker side in which he's going to be a little more active in the secondary too, and he's, you know, going to rush the quarterback a little more often as well. But yeah, the fact of the matter is, Simone is not 25 anymore, right? He's on the wrong side of 30, the way wrong side of 30, and he's not going to be as effective. Manny, before we let you go, who's your player of the game?
Oh, it's Butler. It's got to be.
Yeah, hands down. Appreciate the call. Enjoy the rest of the morning.
Right. Thank you, too.
That is Manny, and that leaves room for you to call in at 905-645-3221. Got an email from Paul who says, Taylor Powell is not a pro quarterback. He can't see the field. He panics. He has happy feet and checks down every time. He is the worst quarterback in the league. Can't win with him. James Butler is the player of the game. Paul, I will say that Powell, well, that showed okay tonight. Certainly not electric, but also look at the play calling as well. I mean, there was a stretch, especially towards the end of the first half, in which the Ticats basically ran the same play over and over and over again. And yeah, a lot of checkdowns, a lot of underneath stuff, because that's what Edmonton was allowing him to do. But they're really not enabling Taylor Powell to, I think, use all of his strengths. And he's not going to, you know, scare you with his foot speed. But I think he's mobile enough to move the pocket. And that, you know, creates a little bit of opportunity on the offensive side of the ball. 905-645-3221, star 9900. Corey's called into the fifth quarter. Corey, thanks for calling in.
Hey, Rick.
How's it going?
I've been better. Like you keep saying, like another night of the watch.
I know. It's good. We got to stop this habit.
For what, the last 20 years, 40 years? What are we, a 500 team for the last 50 years, right?
Yeah, I you know what? If it's the last 50, I would say we're under 500 in the last 50.
Yeah, and that's not right. We're a nine-team league. To say we're due more than we're due, it's kind of sad for us at this point.
Absolutely. And, you know, this one's a bit of a head-scratcher. I thought they'd be much fresher, much more up-tempo, expecting a little more from the offense, you know, new play caller, all of that stuff had me somewhat excited that, okay, let's see what this rendition of the Ticats can do, and they didn't do much.
Coming off a bye week, I absolutely agree. You think that there'd be a little bit more pizzazz or a play here or there. I really feel like we didn't throw it down the field very much tonight. I get that we have a very raw quarterback, but I'd hate to say it. There's been that situation for many teams before, and you got to let the guy sling it downfield. Short underneath passes haven't worked. It's very stale. It's a very, I don't even know how to call it. It's just stale for the CFL offense. And we keep doing it, and it just keeps seeing we're boring. We're a boring team.
It's too conservative is what it is. This offense is too conservative. It is not fun to watch. And if you're going to lose 24-10, at least make it entertaining. Trick plays, throw the ball down the field, make guys make plays, and none of that is happening.
And on top of that, we used our guys tonight. Tim White had a decent game. James Butler had a great game. But like we ran him in the second quarter. He gets all these yards, and then the third quarter comes out. And after the delay, it almost seems like we had time to come out and be able to resituate ourselves, but we didn't. And we threw the ball a bunch of two and outs. And I don't even know if we ran the ball more than two times in the third quarter. And that's what was working for us tonight. And I'd hate to say it, with guys like Kemp and Sardor, like Van Zyl and Figueroa aren't in there. Let these other guys that are growing in the CFL game run block, get them going, get the boys going downhill. And it was working. And we just, again, we were only down 21-9. I get it. Like, we're losing. But we abandoned the run game again, and our pass game isn't strong enough with Powell, who isn't bad again. But we had the strength in the running game tonight, and I feel going away from it just kind of sunk us all the way through.
Yeah. I think one of the turning points was, you know, it's 21-6 at the end of the first half. If the Ticats score a touchdown there, and then maybe they get the two-point conversion, let's just say it's 21-14. Going into the weather delay, you're down by one score as opposed to 21-9. I think it's a very different story if they get into the end zone, but they took the other way out and went for the field goal. And I think that was one of the big plays and big mistakes of this ball game tonight.
I'd hate to say it. It seems to keep going that way as well. when your coaches are making decisions for the team, the fans aren't right. The fans can't coach your team, but those times like that, when we don't have anything to lose, you got to go for it.
I agree. Who is your player of the game tonight?
Tonight, I don't even know.
There's no wrong answer.
Yeah, James Butler, because he's our stud, and I feel like he's so underutilized for us, and he deserves more recognition than he's getting, because behind the rookie offensive lineman, rookie quarterback, third, four-string receivers that are dropping the balls all over the place, this guy's been pretty consistent for us all year, and I feel like if we can put our offense through him, come out of here, we might have a chance, but I don't know. Can I ask you one question,
Rick? Yeah, go ahead.
Do you think we win another home game this year?
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
We got four left.
Yeah, yes. I'm just going to the schedule now because I say that thinking, oh, who else is on the docket here? Yeah, I mean, it's got to happen. Listen, they host the Argos on Labor Day. I'd love to see a win there. They host Winnipeg, they host Calgary, and they entertain BC. I think there's definitely a win there. Definitely. I'm not sure which one, but there's definitely a win. It might be Calgary.
That's what I wanted to hear. I appreciate that honesty with the snicker.
Alrighty. Have a good one, Corey.
You too, Rick.
905-645-3221. Yeah, that might be it. I mean, the way the Argos are playing. Although it is Labor Day. And, you know, things happen, I think, that benefit the Ticats on Labor Day. Not to say that anything's fixed, but they just show up on Labor Day more often than not. And then hosting Winnipeg, that, you know, the Bombers, that's a tough nut to crack. Calgary in September 30th, I'll give the Cats a W there. And who knows, by October the 13th, BC might have clinched whatever they're clinching. And so when the Ticats host them in mid-October, that could be a win as well. Could be a big win for the Hamilton Tiger Cats at that point in time. Got a great tweet from Aaron who says, embarrassing, hashtag fifth quarter, player of the game, the Lightning. It was the only electrifying thing out there tonight. And I would probably agree. No, not probably. I do agree, Aaron. Great tweet. One more email and then we'll get to the break. And then we got a lot of callers still on the line. Mike, Catherine, Chris, we'll get all to you in just a matter of minutes. Email from Tom, brutal game, 7 sacks, 3 missed field goals, scoring only 10 points against the worst defense in the league, allowing 165 rushing yards. Nothing good to talk about here. 3-6 for the first half of the season and prospects for the second half look bleak. I have no suggestions on how to turn the team around. I just hope for an early return from Mitchell and or Schiltz, but that might not be enough. Cheers, Tom from Guelph. Another quick break, and we're back with more of the fifth quarter brought to you by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
The most entertaining, unfiltered, and passionate post-game show in Canada. This is the fifth quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Taylor Powell under center, right behind David Beard. 3 receivers to his left. It's a handoff to James Butler. He runs straight up the middle. Touchdown, Tiger Cats! It pays off. The third down gamble. It's a touchdown presented by Terkstra Lumber. And how about this choreographed dance? They've been waiting for this one at Tim Hortons Field.
James Butler gets into the end zone, and it was 7-6 at that point in time. Mark Leggio misses the extra point, and it was kind of all downhill from there. Ticats only score four more points the rest of the way in a 24-10 loss against the Edmonton Elks of all teams, who are now 1-9. The Ticats now 3-6. Rick Samprin with you. This is the fifth quarter brought to you by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML. Call in or text us at 905-645-3221. You can email rick at 900CHML.com. Use the hashtag fifth quarter. And we are not on Facebook Live tonight. Of course, the whole Meta thing where you can't see any Canadian news stuff from Facebook. So we've said to heck with Facebook tonight. 905-645-3221 on the text line. And we have a text from Rob who says, so here we are after a two-week break. Condell is out. Milanovic is in. And as a gift, they play an 0-9 team. The outcome was less than satisfactory. Ugh, I can't handle this team anymore. Player of the game, Butler. Rob, thank you for the text. Here's Frank. Hi, Rick. Is Steinauer the Pete Rose of the CFL? It's the only thing that makes sense after opting to kick a field goal with time left and two timeouts. All jokes aside, this team is doomed. A coaching change was needed earlier in the season. No accountability or consequences, and far too much complacency. Sad state of affairs considering the party the city has planned in November. Player of the game is Butler. Cheers, Rick. Frank from Hamilton. One more text to get to. This one is Jeff in Edmonton. We just had to give them their first win of the season, didn't we? It just had to be us. Player of the game, James Butler. Great text tonight at 905-645-3221. And just a couple more tweets, because some good ones are really coming in. Luke says this team is in free fall. Max says big time. Oof. Brian says Steinauer needs to step down. Colton says no call tonight. Rick Cocho needs to go. Washington needs to go. Simone needs to be released. This organization is falling apart. Orlando Friedheiner, as Colton writes, is hanging off that 15-3 season, but got rid of the QB who was responsible for that record. Coach O's ego is number one. And Bill says the last three losses have all been painful. Yes, they certainly have been. They certainly have been. Back to the phones we go. Mike has been waiting patiently on the line. Hello, Mike.
Yes. Hi, Rick. How are you doing?
I am struggling with yet another Ticats loss.
I'd just like to make full disclosure. I'm an Argo fan.
Uh-oh.
But I love Hamilton football.
Okay.
Because the fans are very passionate. The town is passionate. And I got a question for you, Rick.
Shoot.
Who wins with a third string quarterback?
Not the Ticats.
Well, I don't think anybody in the league does.
Well, Edmonton just did tonight.
This kid has got potential, but let's face it, it's not a Matt Dunnigan, Damon Allen, and Tracy Ham situation Edmonton years ago.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. You're right about that.
No. I lived through it because I'm a senior, and I've been a Ticat season ticket holder because it's easier to get to Hamilton than it is to Toronto. And it's just a total football experience. Mm. But don't get down on the Ticats. 3-6, you guys were 3-6 last year, and you made the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I mean, I'm watching the Argos, and they look awesome. But as soon as Chad Allen went out in that game against Calgary, the drop off was astronomical.
Yeah, they were a much regular looking team.
Exactly. And you know, your third stringer, he's got potential. He's a young kid, and I think he's going to be okay down the road, but you guys got to get your starters back.
Yeah, absolutely. Who's your player of the game tonight, Mike?
I would say Trey Ford. Trey Ford, Niagara Falls kid,
mm-hmm.
came into the game. His only two wins are against the Ticats.
I know. Thanks for the reminder.
Game. He wasn't spectacular.
Yeah.
But, hey, let's face it. He got the job done.
Absolutely. And after sitting on Edmonton's bench for far too long, it's nice to see him get an opportunity. Mike, thanks for the call. Enjoy the rest of the day.
Thank you very much.
Mike exiting the program. That leaves room for you at 905-645-3221. Catherine from Burlington is called to the fifth quarter. Good morning, Catherine.
Yes, good morning, Rick. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm just going to say this is another a night to remember.
Yes, for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, right. And I also think Powell, I think he has great potential. I think he should be giving a little more credit. You know, he's for this young rookie guy, he runs the ball. You know, it's nice to have a quarterback who can run the ball, you know. And also, I think that, well, Butler and White, they're also great guys on our team. But that they should have went for the touchdown instead of that field goal.
I agree, yes.
Yeah, and I think we're going to have trouble if Reggio doesn't pull up his socks.
Who's your player of the game? You've given a lot of kudos out tonight.
Yeah, well, I can name three of them.
Okay, let's go for it.
Yeah, Ford, Butler, and I will say Powell.
Okay, excellent picks. Thank you very much for the call, and you enjoy the rest of the day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you very much. That is Catherine in Burlington. Let's go to Chris in Alberta. Chris, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Rick. Hey, I agree with most of the things that you and the callers have been saying tonight. I'd like to put my Scott Mitchell hat on and just talk about what I'd do to fix the Cats.
Okay.
First of all, I'd basically let Coach O go and hand over the entire coaching of the team to Scott immediately. I'd also like to say that Coach O has failed as president of football operations because the whole GM by committee thing hasn't worked. And I'd like to remind the callers of the immortal words of former Ticat GM Bob Obilovich, who said, better is better.
Yes.
And we need some better players brought in at key positions, because playing with the same players who aren't doing the job and expecting a different result week after week is not going to change things. So here's what I'd like to do at the GM level. I'd get rid of the entire GM structure right now, and the person I would bring in to be the new GM of the Tiger Cats is Danny Mack. Now, Danny was in Hamilton tonight to pay tribute to
Darren Flutie.
And I think that get in touch with him fast and offer him the GM job, because I think the recruiters are going to offer him the president's position out here in Edmonton, because as assistant GM for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers organization, he's got the skills, he's got the scouting network in the U.S. to really bring the players up here who could help us. And Danny Mack is just a natural to be the new GM for the Ticats. So, Scott, if you're listening, Danny at GM, Scott running the team as a head coach, and I think we'll see improvement in the next season and a half.
Wow. Chris, who's your player of the game? I can't let you go without knowing that.
Oh, Butler by a long shot. The guy is just, you know, we're not paying him enough for the job he's doing with the players he has around him.
Great call, Chris. Appreciate it. Thanks for joining us.
Okay. Hey, take care. And let me just say, glad to talk to everyone in the Hammer from Alberta Ticat Nation, and we'll be behind the Ticat bench in BC next Saturday.
Awesome. Looking forward to that. Enjoy the rest of the day.
Okay, bye.
That is Chris in Alberta with making a lot of points. Got a whole new hierarchy planned for the black and gold. And I'll say this, Danny Mack was a longtime scout with the Tiger Cats, longtime scout. So he has front office connections here. That would be very interesting. He was the general manager here in Hamilton, and I'm sure he would jump at the chance at doing that. I got a question from Sean on Twitter wondering if new offensive coordinator, although he's not officially the offensive coordinator, new offensive play caller, he's still the senior assistant coach, Scott Milanovich, whether he was on the sideline or up in the booth, and he was on the sideline tonight. Now, who knows? He might be in the booth next game. Dave on Twitter says Orlando needs to step down. O-line is horrendous, and the team is in shambles this season. It's a train wreck. Not far off at all. And Brad says, I guess we don't get to see you on Facebook anymore because of the new anti-news legislation in Canada. So here I sit in the car listening to 900 CHML. Brad, we appreciate you consuming the show while in your car. Hopefully you can get some sleep tonight as well. Yes, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Back to the emails we go. I mentioned we had a slew of them, and I got to some. Let's get to some more. This one's from Alan. Alan writes, this is a lengthy one. It's Alan in St. Catharines. I was at the game, but we left when the so-called microburst went through the stadium. That was some kind of microburst. And the winds and rain went under the bleachers, soaking everyone. We were on the other side in Section 215, and we got hit with side rains and strong winds. People were heading into the bathrooms to take cover and headed along the wall. Since my fiance has a lower back injury, with dampness was affecting how long she can stand and walk for, we ended up heading back to St. Catharines and got home in time to watch the second half. As for the game, I had a sick feeling that Edmonton was going to win this game and we would find a way to blow it. There are still obvious concerns with decision-making by our coaches, and we were not ready for Edmonton tonight. I don't know if we underestimated them or what. Our defensive backs are leaving receivers wide open for Edmonton. JV and Elliott had a lousy game. Edmonton receiver was wide open and Elliott was too far from him, not once, but twice. There was also a play where there was pass interference on an Edmonton DB and Orlando didn't challenge it. We would have had the ball around the 1 yard line instead. We kick it for the field goal and miss it. We have missed like 3 field goals or more tonight. We are honoring Osbaldiston and Flutie tonight, and this game is awful. Heck, Osbaldiston could have kicked better tonight, but he might have broken a hip, but he still would have made it. Oh well. I can guarantee you Ozzie would have made that kick. All the kicks tonight. I don't know where we go from here, writes Allen. We're tied with Ottawa with 3 wins and 6 losses for 3rd place and 4th place. It sucks we lost tonight, but in some way I'm happy for Edmonton they got their first win. I've been feeling bad for them all season. I just wish they didn't win their first game against us. Edmonton is in serious trouble. They just lost their president. There is a hole financially, I read, and their attendance at games has been bad. Maybe they will have more fans at their next game in Edmonton now that they got their first win. Player of the game, the fans that stuck it out after the rainstorm. An email from Alan. Phil sends an email, rick@900chml.com. Hi, Rick. It's Philly Filski. Well, it would appear that the 2023 Tiger Cats season of shame has hit a new high, or low, depending on one's perspective. Losing to a team at home that has not won a game since last time the dinosaurs roamed the earth is completely unacceptable. Oh, where to start the half-season post-mortem? How about signing a washed-up quarterback to big money? Mitchell has not only expired his shelf life, but it would appear has also turned into porcelain. Or waiting to replace Tommy Condell 8 games into the season when the problem has been evident since that 2019 Grey Cup debacle. My only complaint is neither Orlando or Washington followed him out the door. How about not one, but 2 kickers? Small and Flint walk out on the team the same season. Humor me, have you ever seen that in your lifetime following the CFL, NFL, college, even peewee level? In short, Philly Filski, no. He goes on to write, what else do we have? Oh yes, a receiver who would rather punch out one of his teammates during a game than do his talking on the field after getting a big hefty raise during the offseason. That would be you, Mr. White. Or a talented but apparently anger-challenged DB who seems would rather just punch out everybody, even fans, if the opportunity presented itself. Or that would be you, Mr. Edwards. Time to clean house, says Philly Filski. Everyone starting with Alamang down to Akeet Milanovic and Reinbold. Something stinks in Hamilton, and it's not the harbor. Hamilton fans deserve better than this comedic display of a once-proud team and franchise sinking ever so slowly into the abyss. Time to plan for 2024 while you still have a strong support network of fans in the stands. Oh, wait, there's more. Oh, if fans listening to this are critical of my comments, I don't care. I call it as I see it. It's not about one or two games. It's about the totality of things, being the last several seasons of continued frustration, and seeing the Grey Cup window being slammed shut. Changes were long overdue. Every true Tiger Cat fans know that is fact. One last thing. It was equally fitting that the head referee for this game was none other than, yep, number 28, Andre Preux. The Preux factor strikes again, LOL. My apologies if this was a bit long-winded. As always, I enjoy listening to your show. Keep up the outstanding work. Philly Filski, striking hard and deep and savage-like with that email. 905-645-3221 is the number to call. Or text. You can also call in on your cell phone, *9900. Send me an email, rick@900chml.com. Or on Twitter, @AM900CHML, @RickSamprin, use the hashtag fifth quarter. Tweet from Randy, who just says, sigh, dot, dot. Couldn't even put in the effort for one more dot. But I get what he's throwing down. I'm picking up what he's throwing down. Thank you, Randy, for the tweet. Let's take one more break, and we'll be back with some final thoughts. And we'll have our big play of the game, our player of the game voted by you, the fans, and our fifth quarter fan of the night. All that coming up next here on the fifth quarter, brought to you by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
We're talking Ticats football. This is the fifth quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Tyreek McAllister gets it right at midfield, right in the middle of the field. He runs to the right. He's across the 40, the 35, down to the 30. Cuts back to his left, the 20, the 10. He's going to score. Tyreek McAllister, touchdown, Tiger Cats.
There is a flag.
Yeah, there was a flag. Actually, there were two for two different penalties that the Ticats took and did not help Hamilton tonight as they fall 24-10 to the Edmonton Elks, who are now 1-9 on the season. Hamilton 3-6, tied with Ottawa for dead last in the CFL, just two games better, two wins better than Edmonton. The fifth quarter is brought to you by Eastgate Ford. You're listening to 900 CHML. Not broadcasting on CHML's Facebook page tonight. Thank you, Meta. You can call in with your thoughts on the game. Vote for your player of the game at 905-645-3221. That's also the text line, 905-645-3221, *9900 on your mobile device. Send me your thoughts on email, rick@900chml.com, and on Twitter, @RickSamprin, @AM900CHML. Use the hashtag Fifth Quarter. While you're in the digital verse, if you will, subscribe to the Fifth Quarter podcast. Search it out in your favorite podcast platform, and you will never miss an episode. We've had a tremendous amount of calls, emails, tweets, texts. Daver on Twitter says, embarrassing, in all caps, with an exclamation point, by the way. Tim Hortons Field started as the fortress. Now it's where you come to end your 17-game losing streak. Where's Seth Small? Is he on a contract or what? Where is he? This is unacceptable. Hashtag Fifth Quarter. Seth Small is under contract. He's on the suspended list with a bunch of other players who are not in Hamilton. He's back home in Texas with his wife and his child and is, I guess, playing dad. I'd rather do that and play football. Nick on Twitter says, absolutely embarrassing. Feels hopeless, like back in the 90s. Did Bob Young piss off a gypsy? Jim on Twitter says, again, for my birthday, again, they've lost the game the week of my birthday as far back as I can remember. The only times they don't, they're on a bye. Too many missed points and only one in the second half. Just embarrassing. Ford for player of the game. Another vote for Trey Ford. He's still trailing James Butler for player of the game honors here on the fifth quarter. Got an email. This one is from Alan. Oh, this is part two of Alan's thoughts. Alan says, hey, Rick, this is my second email. Our offensive line sucks, especially Kemp and Sartor. Our tackles are garbage. What sucks even more is Saxelid is back on the six-game injured list. Figueroa was a waste of money. Anyways, so many missed opportunities, missed PAT, missed field goals, penalties after a punt return that cost us the touchdown. Our kicker sucked badly and couldn't do anything tonight. We got rid of Pipkin last week. We should have given him a try. Powell is definitely not it. It was clear he couldn't do nothing. Our schedule is not getting easier also. Any word on Matt Schiltz? We need him back by Labor Day, or it's going to be 40-0 against Toronto that afternoon. I'm worried about this team. I'm lost for words, Rick. Well, actually, Alan, you had a number of words on two emails, so thanks for chiming in. You was wondering about Matthew Schiltz. So a couple of weeks ago, this is just before the bye week, I was at Ticats practice, and after practice, we were chatting with Coach Rolando Steinauer to get a sense of, what's going on with the team, who's healthy, who's not. And I asked Coach O about the status of Matthew Schiltz, and I said, is there a possibility he's going to be ready for Labor Day? And he said, that's interesting, but then alluded to the fact that it's probably going to be a little bit after Labor Day. And it sounds like Bo Levi Mitchell is also going to be after Labor Day. So right now, this is Taylor Powell's team. There's no way Kyle Oxley is starting the next game. And there's no way the new quarterback, who I don't remember who the heck it is, Glass, is going to start the next game. So they're stuck with who they got. Email from Randy. Good evening or morning, Rick. I am in total bewilderment. What an embarrassment. I'm shaking my head and it's getting sore. The Elks going into this game were 0-9, and I would think, although no guarantees, would be an open-door opportunity for Hamilton. The Cats were not even competitive. The attendance was poor. The offense for the Cats did nothing in the third and fourth quarter. I will say that Taylor Powell had a good completion record, but the usual penalties affected the Tigers again. Okay, Scott Milanovich has only been around Hamilton a few days, yet how can a team 15 points behind near the end of the half kick a field goal? A called back kick return TD. Duke Williams was held by the waist. No PI call. It feels like a bad dream. I'm not confident in a playoff berth for Hamilton when they can't beat a team with a record of 0-9 and loads of organizational problems. Then there's Anthony Johnson, two ridiculously easy drops. Mark Leggio, a terrible night. Please come back, Seth Small. An overall horrendous and disgusting offensive performance. 7 sacks on Hamilton, just putrid. The thing is, the Elks did not play a really great game. Hate to say it, time to clean house, top to bottom. My player of the game is James Butler. Honorable mention to the Thunder. The weather delay did not help either. Good night, Rick. Randy in Oakville. Ernie says, hi, Rick. Only highlight tonight was Flutie inducted into the Wall of Honor and Ozzy as alumnus of distinction. Everything else sucked. Go to bed, Rick. You got an early day. That email from Ernie. It's just about bedtime, and the alarm goes off in a couple of hours. Patrick with an email. Patrick says, I believe in the concept of collective consciousness. It's a fairly well-known psychological concept. You might do a piece on it on your Now You Know. Well, Patrick is actually called Do You Know, but I'm thankful for the help. And this is simply my thoughts. Hamilton as a city has lost productivity, leadership, hard work ethic, and given way to a welfare city, a lack of moral value, a loss of strong individuals. So while this might sound simplistic and conspiratorial, there is a lack of will to stand up and move ahead, industrially, morally, intellectually. We see people not willing to work, to demand handouts and sympathy, and Hamilton responds in a way that is not inspiring people to get up, but enabling them to stay in that situation. The Ticats are simply a reflection of what is all around us. I know this probably sounds over the top and I'm just some kind of nut, but I think there is a reality here. Patrick, with that email, I feel like doing a yoga pose or something really deep and mentally stimulating, but that email I think is going to cut it. Patrick, appreciate the thoughts. 905-645-3221, *9900 on your mobile device. You can email rick@900chml.com on the text line 905-645-3221 on Twitter. Use the hashtag #FifthQuarter, at Rick Samprin, at AM900CHML. I'll say this. Now, this team has won 3 games in the first half of the season. And yes, they accomplished that. accomplished that last year as well and still made the playoffs with 8 wins and 10 losses. And when I looked at the schedule earlier on in the season when they started to pile on the losses, I thought, you know what? 8-10 is probably the best they're going to do. I'm just being a realist. 8-10 is probably the best they're going to do. They will have to go, well, if they're 3-6 now, to get to 8, they got to win 5 games? 5 out of the next 9? Is it possible? Okay, let's look at the schedule. They're at BC. They host Toronto, they're at Ottawa, they host Winnipeg, they're at Toronto, they host Calgary, they're at Saskatchewan, they host BC, and they're at Montreal. Do I see 5 wins there? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I see, I'm not sure how I see it, but I see 5 wins. I got the rose-colored glasses on. I see a maximum of 5 wins. So does 7-11 get you in? It's going to be close. Going to be close. You look at the CFL standings. Winnipeg, BC, they're in. Saskatchewan, Calgary, they got some work to do. Edmonton, they're not going anywhere. Toronto's in. Montreal's going to be in. Hamilton, Ottawa, going to be battling all season long for that playoff position. And the Ticats hold the tiebreaker over the Red Blacks. And yes, they play one more time on September the 8th. Ticats will be playing basically on 4 days rest. That is going to be a hugely important game. And there are a bunch of others that will be massively important as well. And what happens between now and then is going to be very interesting in terms of what other changes, if any, are on the horizon. Is there another shoe to drop? I don't know. I know one thing. They have to play better. They have to increase their talent level. And they got to win some ball games. You got to push the ball down the field. You got to play great defensively. You got to make something happen. And right now, this team is not making things happen. Sadly, they're not making things happen. 24-10, the final score. Edmonton beating Hamilton. Next game for the Ticats is in BC, Saturday, August the 26th. Now, I'm going to be on vacation. I'm going to the East Coast. And so Dave Woodard is going to be hosting the show. We'll give Lloyd the last word here. I mean, we might be a little bit over time, but Lloyd has called at 1:27 a.m. Let's give him some time. Lloyd, welcome to the fifth quarter.
Hi, Rick. How you doing?
I'm good.
I just heard your schedule recital, and I was thinking, wouldn't it be interesting this year if the CFL East crossed over into the CFL West? What do you think?
It's a possibility, but I think it's wishful thinking.
Yes.
Because we would need Hamilton and Ottawa to be better than Saskatchewan and Calgary.
Wouldn't that be just kind of the icing on the cake of all the West is best kind of crap?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, we got to go. Who's your player of the game?
Butler did a great job. And you know what, Powell, he's going to be good, but he needs seasoning.
I agree with you. Lloyd, I appreciate you calling in at the last second. Love to get your thoughts on the show. Have a great day.
You too.
All right, let's do the big player of the game, Butler's TD run. The player of the game, voted by you, the fans, is James Butler. And the fifth quarter fan of the night, Aaron, for his electrifying tweet. Embarrassing. Player of the game, the Lightning. It was the only electrifying thing out there tonight. Aaron, you are bang on. We'll be back on August the 26th. Dave Woodard is going to be hosting the fifth quarter. I'll be on the East Coast. Have a great time over the next couple of weeks, and hopefully we'll be talking about a Ticats win the next time we are together. For producer Tom McKay, my name's Rick Samprin. This has been the fifth quarter, brought to you by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Where Ticats fans come together, win or lose. Listen after every game to the fifth quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
The fifth quarter podcast is available on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and wherever you get your favorite podcast. I'm Rick Samprin. Thanks again for listening. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. It's free, so you never miss an episode. And make sure you rate and review.